everybody. Welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. Well, we're pretty much knee-deep into conference championship weekend or week, really. And, dude, honestly, this has been a lot of fun, but things are only starting to heat up. How the hell are you?
I'm good, man. And, yeah, some crazy games, some crazy outcomes, some shocking outcomes. But this is March, baby.
Yeah, it is. March is, you know, the thing I like about it, dude, is there's games that I otherwise, if this was a calendar back a week ago, I would have no interest in some of these games. And this week I'm like, oh, yes, Pitt, Wake Forest, let's go.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And I even watched the whole Syracuse NC State game. And I'm like, wow, both these teams are really bad, but I'm still watching the whole game.
Syracuse can't embarrass themselves enough for me.
Oh,
So bad. They are horrendous. Well, we're going to start, guys. The format of this pod is we're going to go talk about the main conferences, the Power Fives, if you will, and some others. And then we're going to talk about some mid-major tickets that got punched this week. Will, I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch any of them, so you're going to have to drive the bus on those. But let's start where one major conference did see a winner this week. On Tuesday night, St. Mary's beat Gonzaga 69-60. Gonzaga had some foul trouble. Gonzaga had troubles getting stops when they needed to. St. Mary's was able to do what they normally do, which is bleed the shot clock dry and end up with a good shot a little bit more often than Gonzaga did.
Yeah, and we talked about this game. We texted about it. And Gonzaga just did not play well whatsoever, which you just alluded to. Just, I've never seen a Gonzaga Mark Few coach team take so many bad shots. And St. Mary's, like you said, played their game, and they made Gonzaga play St. Mary's basketball.
Wasn't the game that should embody the entire season? Granted, I have not watched a ton of Gonzaga this year, but Ryan Nemhard has been a huge disappointment because at Creighton, he was a stud. And I feel like he was taking on ownership of being kind of like, this is his team. And in that game against St. Mary's, man, he was just straight up bad.
Yeah, he was definitely bad. And maybe is it the spotlight maybe too big for him? I mean, he was a stud at Creighton, but now if this is he's trying to say this is just his team, is he feeling pressure to perform every single game and that's why he has a bad game like that?
Maybe he's just not meant for that moment. Maybe he's supposed to be more of a two or a three option as opposed to a one. I know that their big guy got into foul trouble, and that impacted their ability to play defense, and they weren't getting stops. And Nemhard had to shoot a couple of threes that probably he didn't want to take. But honestly, man, this was I had more positives from St. Mary's than I did negatives from Gonzaga. I think just you look at this Gonzaga team, we've talked about it at times. They're just not as talented as some of the teams in the past. And if they get down, you don't have much confidence that they can find a way to get back up.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I would love to see what St. Mary's does in the tournament. They play their own brand of basketball, which is fun to watch at times. And if they can get teams to play the way they play basketball, it's going to be some fun games.
Are unique in the sense of their style. They like to play games, not quite like Virginia, but they're happy to play games in the 50s and low 60s because of the way that they bleed the shot clock. Will, where do you think in St. Mary's is going to land? Are they about a six or a seven in your
opinion? Yeah, I'm thinking like six or seven. It depends on what goes on in the rest of the tournaments. If there's any big upsets that happen that a team that wasn't going to be in the tournament gets in the tournament because they won their conference. So we'll see.
I think that's probably where they should land. Again, knocking off Gonzaga two out of their three meetings should mean something. Gonzaga has played a lot better towards the second half of the season. But I don't know how far St. Mary's can go. I mean, they're probably, what, a one and done? Are they maybe a Sweet 16 team at their peak?
Yeah, I think they are maybe round of 32, lucky to be in the Sweet 16.
When they start to play teams that are more explosive, that style of play, it's just not – it's not going to win you certain matchups. So they'll probably be matchup dependent on how you pick them come bracket time.
Yeah, it all depends on their draw, so – we'll see.
Yeah, for teams like that, it usually does. In the Mountain West, what are your impressions of what's going on out there? I know the tournament just started last night.
Well, this is what I said. I said the craziness starts today. That's in this conference. I can see anybody in that winning. I don't care what the spreads are. Anybody can win that game. But in the beginning, Colorado State survives a bad Jose State team. They ended up pushing to 10 points when the fouling game, but they only beat a bad San Jose State team by 10. And in Colorado State, who was ranked at one point, that's not how you want to start the conference tournament.
Winning this tournament, in your opinion?
Utah State, even though They barely got past the bad Fresno State team today in overtime.
So far in some of these conference tournaments, bro, there's some teams that should not make some of these games all that close.
Yeah, with Utah State, if one of the great names, great Osborne, at 29 points today, I feel like if he's not scoring 25 plus, they're losing a lot of these games. So that could be a problem for Utah State going forward.
Definitely could. I think I would pick Utah State as well. I feel like they're the safest of the teams, but as we've talked about all season long, you could pick four or five of those teams to win, and you probably aren't going out on too much of a win.
Yeah, we won't talk about the New Mexico game. They played Air Force, as Tom would say, respect for our soldiers, so we're not going to talk about that.
Tom with the one-liners. All right, moving to the Big East at the Mecca, where you'll be tomorrow, which is really fucking cool, for the semifinals. But so far, let's just start with the first night of games. How the hell did Villanova beat DePaul by one?
That was one of the ugliest games. Just looking at the box score, I didn't watch the game. But, yeah, and then Villanova, they're playing who are they playing tonight? They're playing Marquette, right? So I could see Villanova keeping that like a six-point game after they just barely beat a bad, bad, bad DePaul team. For some reason, I could just see that because they're like, oh, well, Villanova just only beat DePaul by one. They're going to get smoked by Marquette, but it would not surprise me if they kept it close for some reason.
Well, sometimes teams like that just need to get their feet wet, and they had the last game that tipped off really late, and nobody expected that to be close, and I think they just slept walk through it, which is an indictment on Neptune, I think, as a head coach. But Dixon hit a big three. Moore hit the three that gave them the lead by one. And then their defense was able to end the game on a steal. By the way, Chris Holtman heading to DePaul. That's a pretty good
From Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah. So
he could somewhat turn that DePaul program around.
Just make them respectable, dude. Don't make them they can't be a doormat in the Big East. But moving into today, the first game of the day, and just full transparency, everybody, as we record, we're in between the four games. The first two already took place. And UConn, my UConn Huskies, I got to tell you, man, they did not look good in the first half. I have more thoughts, but what were your takeaways from their first half against Xavier?
Well, I feel like they kind of slept walk through the first half, knowing that they were more talented than that Xavier team, but they couldn't buy a bucket in that first half. When the second half came, and you'll talk about it more in depth, that second half, and I think you sent the text out that they shot, 22 of 28 in the second half?
22 of 28.
Yeah, so that's the UConn that you've seen all year, the dominant UConn team. I just think it's an anomaly. I don't see UConn struggling going forward, that they're going to have one bad half and one good half. I think they just slept walk through the first half.
Characteristic turnovers, not getting back on transition defensively. Credit to Xavier. They knocked down some tough shots. I think they were playing a lot more fresh because they played yesterday in a pretty competitive game against Butler. But the second half happened and UConn turned it on. Well, they had six players in double figures. They had, but nobody scored more than 16. They had six players with double-digit rebounds. Nobody had more than 11, or more than 12, rather. The balance is just insane. When you got, I think the biggest thing about this UConn team that you trust is when Castle's playing kind of like a freshman, we have to remember that no matter how good he's been, and Caravan's not looking great, and Klingon is kind of non-existent early, you have Newton and you have Spencer, and those two guys are certified buckets that can get you right back into the swing of things when you need to.
Yeah, the scary thing about UConn is you can have three players have an off day and they can still win by 20.
Second half tips off, they go ape shit. And when you look at what UConn can do, I texted this to you because I really was thinking, is there a team that can start a run faster without it seeming that impressive than UConn?
Like you said before we were talking, you blinked your eyes and UConn was up 15. I was at work and I was like, UConn's up 7, okay. And then I'm like, wait, they're up 21? What just happened?
Like the opposing team makes two twos, UConn makes two threes. The other opposing team misses three shots in a row, UConn makes all three. Castle finally got his shit together. Klingon started to actually be assertive down low in his minutes. I thought Samson Johnson gave them some really good minutes today. And you can see with Xavier, remember, they were the first to kind of have that, whoa, what the fuck happened game against UConn this year when they lost by like 40. And you could see their morale was done at the under 16 timeout.
Yeah, it was that first media timeout. You saw the hands on the hips for Xavier. The faces were all dropped. They knew they lost already with 16 minutes left to go in the game.
27-point win for the Huskies. They take care of business. It took them a little bit to get started, but yeah, 27. Not a lot of teams can do that to other pretty decent opponents, which Xavier is. In the second part of the day slate, Seton Hall. Will, I thought they were going to win this game. It wasn't close. How about Tom's Johnnies taking care of business, and Slick Rick has this team as a well-oiled machine at this point?
Yeah, the Johnnies dominated in the paint today. It was not even close. I think it was like 40-17 in the paint. Alvarado was unbelievable. That's his name, right? Alvarado? Is it Alvarado? No, Soriano. Sorry. Soriano. He was dominant in the paint today. Seton Hall shot themselves in the foot a lot. When they got the game to like 7 or 8 points, then they would have a bad turnover or a pull-up three with 24 seconds left on the shot clock. They just didn't do themselves any favors. Nothing to take away from the Johnnies, because they dominated that game in the boards. They dominated that game in the fast break offense. You got to pose the question to Sean. Are you a little scared of the Johnnies?
Scared? No. Am I certainly expecting a pretty good game? Yes. Because St. John's has given UConn two very good games this year. In Hartford, to be the second game of Big East play, St. John's easily could have won that game. Granted, there was no Klingon and Spencer was banged up. In the second game at the Garden, UConn pulled away late, but that was a close game. I think St. John's was up 1.5. That was a game with no Caravan, but St. John's certainly played them well. I expect the third time Rick Pitino is going to have this team ready. Both teams are healthy. Both teams are playing very well right now. This is the best St. John's version UConn's seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And did this win solidify them as a lock for the tournament?
Had to. I tweeted it out. It had to, right?
I think it does. I mean, we talked earlier when they had that three-game stretch, and the tough one was Butler, and they dominated Butler, and then they had to finish with Georgetown and DePaul, which should have been easy wins, which they were. Georgetown gave them a little bit more trouble. And I said, I think they just need to win one game in the Big East tournament, and they're on their way. So we'll see.
Yeah, we didn't know what that draw would be when you said that, but their draw ended up being Seton Hall, who, if they won this game, would have immediately been in. And I think those two were jockeying for position, and St. John's just took it away from them.
Yeah. So, great win for St. John's. I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow at the Mecca. And then we got the two games tonight, Creighton and Providence and Marquette and Nova. Do you think any of those games are closer than expected? Or
do you think Providence could possibly hang with Creighton for a little bit because of Devin Carter, who won Big East Player of the Year? Obviously, we know Creighton's not the same team away from home. I do expect them to win that game. As for Villanova, did they just figure it out after escaping last night and play a tough Marquette team? But they won't have Tyler Kolick. So I personally think it'll go chalk, but how do you see these two going?
I think the higher seeds win. I'm just excited to see what Creighton team shows up. Are we getting the Creighton home team in Omaha, or are we getting the Creighton on the road at St. John's kind of team? So it depends on what team shows up. If the St. John's team shows up, I can see Providence easily winning that game.
Sure. I listen, the Big East at this point, now that Georgetown's out of the way and DePaul's out of the way, listen, Villanova's been disappointing this year, but they have had some decent wins, and they're a pretty okay team. I don't think they're really that far off from probably what Providence is. So we'll see. Xavier, they weren't playing that poorly either before the second half today.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're both going to be great games, but I think the higher seeds will win, which creates a crazy semifinal matchup between Creighton and Marquette.
Big Ten hasn't really had anything happen yet. I think they tip off today, right?
Yeah, you had the two games yesterday.
Michigan lost.
Thank God Michigan season's over. It's been absolutely terrible. And then Wisconsin dominates Maryland. Where has this Wisconsin team been? They hit 16 threes today.
Good Lord.
So where has this team been all year? I know they've had the talent, but they went on that 5 out of 6 game losing streak where they lost to Michigan, where they lost to Penn State. And at that point, I'm like saying, are they going to get a one seed in the NIT? But I think they're back on track. And, you know, they posed a little bit of a threat there in the Big Ten. And Purdue starts tomorrow. They play Michigan State. And I think Michigan State gets it close for about 12 to 15 minutes of the first half, and then Purdue starts to pull away.
You know, this is not a classic Izzo team. So
no, it is not.
Purdue to take care of business. I could see a game tomorrow where It's kind of reminiscent of Connecticut and Xavier today, where Michigan State will have already played. They're a little bit more into it. Their engines are revved up. They get off to a hot start. And then Purdue remembers, oh, right, this game counts, and they go on an extended run and blow them out. Into the Big 12, Will, listen, your boys didn't play. But to lose by 20 to Cincinnati, were you expecting that? Were you surprised by that? What were your takeaways?
I was a little surprised in the point differential of the final score. But with McCullough and Dickinson both not playing, that's about 80% of your offense. So you got the 20%, which is what happened. But I look at this game too. If you're gonna come out and you're gonna play like that, and it, again, another game for the Jayhawks where they shoot 3 for 20-something from 3-point land, why not just play the walk-on seniors if that's how you're gonna play basketball? Like, if you're gonna come out there and KJ Adams, who is not a scorer, is your leading scorer because nobody else can hit a three or hit a jump shot. Kansas might be in trouble if they don't get both of them back. They could lose in the first round to because Kansas is probably going to be a 3, maybe even a 4 seed at this point. I could see them lose if they get a tough roll, if they get like a Colgate or something like that. I don't know if they don't have either of those players.
Do you agree with self-sitting both McCullough and Dickinson?
Yeah. I mean, the guy's won, 40,000 Big 12 championships. I think he's just getting ready for the NCAA tournament. McCullough will be back. He was just resting. That knee's been banged up for the last better part of the month and a half. But he'll be ready to play. Dickinson, I don't know. There was no structural damage in his shoulder. So I don't know if they're just resting him, if it's more of an underlying issue. But we'll see when, the selection show comes out, if they mention anything about it. But if they're not if Dickinson's not back, they could be one win and then done the following day.
Houston handled business against TCU today. We expected that.
Expected, yes. Texas Tech, though, turning it on at the right time, shooting 50% basically from three, taking down BYU.
BYU is a weird team to me, man. I mean, if you catch them on the right night, that's a team that you could talk yourself into getting to the Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight. That's a stretch. But when they are a top 25 team and have been for a long time, but, man, in a game like today, you just look up and you're like, how the hell do you get blown out by Texas Tech?
Yeah, Texas Tech, after a big win against Baylor, maybe this is, they're starting to play basketball. They might win. I could see them win the Big 12. I mean, the way they're playing, they could beat anybody. But what was I going to say? Who was the other team? The other team in the Big 12 that played?
Well, Baylor plays tonight.
Baylor plays tonight. That was what I was talking about. I think Baylor wins that game tonight. So it's going to be a good Final Four in the Big 12. It's probably going to be Houston, Baylor. I would say Texas Tech and Iowa State is my guess. It's a good
Iowa
Final Four matchup.
The team right now that I would pick to win with Kansas out.
Yeah, I would agree. So we'll see. That's a good Final Four to watch in a conference tournament.
Big 12 will bring it because that conference is just so fucking loaded and so deep. So you're guaranteed a semifinal. That's great. Shit, the quarterfinal should be really good too, particularly because this version of Kansas is just, especially with missing 80% of your offense, as you said, your two best players, that's not a team you wanted to see pull an upset anyway. Let's get the best competition in there. And honestly, for Kansas, this is why Bill Self is one of the best. He doesn't give a fuck about Big 12 championships. Get your guys right, and hopefully, a week from today or Friday, they're ready to play their first opponent, and they're as healthy as they've been in weeks.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we get to see the team that beat UConn, the team that beat Houston at home. Hopefully we can see that team again in the NCAAs.
Oh, you're hoping for it, my man. Moving into the ACC, last night, Boston College killed Clemson, and we talked about the jump, NC State, pummel, Syracuse. I love how far Syracuse has fallen. We've talked about how the ACC has become the wasteland of once glorified programs. Today, Pitt beats Wake, and I thought that was a big win for Pitt because it might have knocked Wake off the bubble.
I think it definitely did. It was a bad loss in terms of being on the bubble for Wake. That was a game that they had to must win. But shout out to Pitt. They got the job done, and they're probably in the NCAA now.
North Carolina steamrolled the Seminoles.
Oh, yeah. That game was over with 11 minutes left in the second half. Yikes. But that team is also one of those teams that kind of reminds me of UConn when one person's struggling, somebody else picks it up, and they play as well together as a team that UConn does at points too.
And don't look now, Will, but if Tennessee has a slip up early in the SEC, and if Arizona falls to another unranked Pac-12 team, we could look at North Carolina snagging that fourth one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past the committee. They're playing basketball like they deserve it. Obviously, they have to go and beat Duke again because I think that's going to be the final as well. Nobody really poses a threat to those two teams in that conference.
I don't think so either. And, you know, you look at Pitt, hey, nice story, but they don't have the staying power. They're just not talented enough. And the other teams that are in there, I mean, by the way, Miami lost the other night, and what a disgraceful year for that program, who was very excited about coming off a Final Four berth, bringing in talented transfer portal players, and they had their worst loss that, or their worst season rather, that I can ever remember them having.
Yeah, they just had a down year this year, and they'll be in the NIT probably
if they're lucky. I mean, they were that bad in the American. Who is your pick to win that conference right now?
American. That's one of those conferences that American is FAU, correct?
FAU, South Florida, the top two.
Yeah. I mean, I could see FAU doing it, but they have their games against bad teams in that conference that you're like, this is not the FAU team from last year. I don't know. I can see USF taking it. They're the best team in that conference as of right now. But it wouldn't surprise me if a team like SMU made it to the semifinals because they are playing at home, as we talked about. But I think USF takes it.
Sneaky Memphis run, maybe?
Memphis is last time I checked, they were struggling against Wichita State. That game was – Wichita State was up 10 at one point. I don't know if it went final or whatnot. Let's see. Let's take a little look at that.
Because if they go out early, that's a bad loss that they probably are not getting in. They would have had to probably win that conference in the entire tournament outright to get in.
They lost to Wichita State by 6.
No sneaky Memphis run.
No sneaky Memphis run. Sneaky Wichita State run? A 15-18 team?
Well, you know, bring back the days of Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet.
Oh, those were the days for the Shockers.
They really were. 10 years ago, gone in a blink of an eye. In the Pac-12, I still think Arizona wins this, but USC is playing quite well right now.
Yeah, I still think Arizona does take this. We got my Cougs tonight. Hopefully they don't let me down. I'll put it on this podcast first. That's one of my bets of the week is Washington State covering. 8.5 against Stanford. Stanford just won in overtime last night. I don't know if the legs are going to be there to play them. And Washington State likes to run up and down the court. So we'll see.
In a track meet, wear out Stanford. Your cover should be just fine. Into the SEC. So far, this tournament is going to go, in my opinion, the way it should, which is we're going to get probably a Kentucky-Tennessee final.
I agree with that. The only notes I put on this one is Missouri went 0-18 in conference play this year. Yikes.
That's awful.
That's really bad. Even DePaul had a conference win.
Yeah. You look at some of these programs, dude, and they can't afford to be irrelevant and doormats. I mean, that's what was happening to UConn in football in the AAC, where they weren't winning game, like single game all year. It's like, why are they playing in this conference again? Like, they shouldn't be here. Missouri's a very decent SEC school, and they've had pedigrees over the past of being some really good teams. They were 2 couple years.
Yeah, when they had the Kim English year.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't win a single conference game is a joke.
Well, the SEC is a football conference, even though their basketball has been very good over the past couple of years. But as a Mizzou's football team is pretty good. So I guess that's why they're in the SEC.
I know why they're in the SEC, but I'm saying is they better rectify this issue fast. Because you can't afford to have a very important sport, the second sport in basketball, not win a single conference game. There's not like you're playing a juggernaut every week. I mean, Mississippi State is not very good. Ole Miss sucks. And there's some bad teams. Vanderbilt, who just fired Jerry Stackhouse today, they suck too. So to not win a single game is really a travesty.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
All right, let's talk about some mid-major tickets that got punched. I know you, because you and Tom are degenerates. You're placing bets all over the place. We'll start in the Ohio Valley, where Morehead State gets the nod. They win their conference tournament. Where are they going to be seated?
Morehead State will probably be a 13, is my guess. They always make noise in the tournament. They beat that Louisville team. What was that, 6-7 years ago? Riley Minks is a really good player for them. He had 26 points in the final against Arkansas Little Rock. I think that team can get an upset win over a 4 in the tournament.
All right. Anything else you want to take away from all these mid-majors? I'm not going to name all of them, but some of these teams that won, give me some impressions of some of the following teams. Longwood, Drake, Stetson, JMU.
So in the Big South, Longwood, they were 6-10 in conference, and they found a way to keep playing in March. That's crazy. They were like the 6th seed in that tournament, and they won it all. So that good for them. In the Missouri Valley, it's either Drake or it's Illinois State. Drake took down Illinois State in the finals. My question to you is, did Illinois State do enough this year to get a bid? Because you didn't win, but
Indiana State. The Sycamores? No, they didn't. They had to win. They didn't.
Yeah, it's frustrating because I wanted to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, we all did, but in my opinion, they're not in, unless you think differently.
I don't think they have enough quad one wins or even quad two wins to get in there.
Teams in those kind of conferences, man, you really got it. You can't lose certain games. And I remember when they finally got ranked, the first thing they did was fuck up and lose. And you just can't do that.
Yeah. A little other notes that I have in the ASUN, Stetson beats Austin Peay in a thriller. Jalen Blackman, 43 points in the championship game. Put your team on your back, young man. Jeez. that's what I said. Put the team on your back in the biggest moments. Other small conference, Sun Belt, JMU, they were ranked at one point. They just dominated that league. They dominated in the championship game. Only other one that I could see that's worth talking about is probably in the CAA. CFC wins in overtime in a thrill against Stony Brook. Watch this game. CFC is also one of those teams that makes a little noise in the tournament by winning a first-round game, and I can see them doing this year.
That's a Tom Bacino pick. He had Charleston last year. He loves Charleston.
Yeah, because they put up points. It's like when Marshall's playing well, you always bet on Marshall's over because they're going to score at least 85 points. They're having a down year this year, which makes it tough to bet on them. But I could definitely see CFC like playing like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of bad like 4 seed. It would be a bad 4 seed. Oh, I could see CFC playing Kansas without Dickinson and winning that game.
Have to go right to your boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe a team like, you know, depending if they get tripped up, Duke, they're probably going to be a 3 though.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, yeah, it depends on the draw, always, as always. So, I mean, the only other thing, you know, we talked about almost anything, minus the Big East games tonight. Are you interested in any other games that are going on tonight?
The Big East is going to have my main attention. I'm going to check out Baylor in the Big 12. I'm going to check out Duke tonight in the ACC. But I'm probably going to stay pretty consistently in the Big East because they don't reseed. So we know UConn and St. John's are playing each other. I really want to see if we're getting a heavyweight match in the semifinal tomorrow between Creighton and Marquette.
Yeah, that would be an awesome, awesome semifinal game. Yeah, I'm interested in the, you know, my Mountain West. You have Colorado State and Nevada. Nevada's favored by 2.5. That should be a back-and-forth game the whole game. And then I just want to see Boston College beat Virginia. And just tell me Virginia's out of the tournament, please. Please.
Boston College could do it. We saw them yesterday kick the living shit out of Clemson. So.
Yeah, I just can't stand Tony Bennett's face on the sideline. Can't stand it.
You know, he really has ruined so many brackets individually. He should apologize to everybody that's ever played a bracket.
Yeah. The year they lost to UMBC, I had them winning the national championship. So thank you for that. That's probably why I hate them so much.
Well, you're not alone in that. They were, I believe, weren't they the number one overall seed?
Yes, they were.
They were, right? So it wasn't even like they were a 1.
That means you literally play the worst 16 seed. And that's what they did. And they got blown out.
The game was over in the first half. I can understand everybody's hatred towards him. I also understand just, you know, you're starting to see a couple games in the NBA, oddly enough, right now that are ending in like the high 70s or like mid 80s. And you're like, what era am I watching? Because the same year that we've seen games routinely finish in regulation in the 130s. But
yeah, that was like the game
it's not a fun style of basketball to watch, Will.
No, it's not. I was flipping the channels the other day and I come on the Knicks game and it's like 77-70 with like 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. I'm like, is this the NBA or is this the Big Ten?
And that's where I'm watching Virginia. I'm like, is this 2024 or is this 1954? Because if you want to win a game 48-45, even if you're the best team to do that, which they're not, nobody wants to fucking watch you play.
Yeah, like how are you a fan of, like, say if you go to UVA, obviously you have the school spirit whatsoever, but you're paying money to watch a team put up 48 points and maybe win a game? Like, how boring is that?
I don't really know what happened, because even though they've always kind of been a conservative type team, they had years like with Ty Jerome and Sohan where like they – or not Sohan, who, the other kid who hit that game-tying shot.
I forgot his name. But I know who you're talking about. And they had that guy, Brandon Guy, who didn't miss a three ever.
Right. Like, they had years where they were scoring constantly in the 70s. Like, they did win the Natty in 2019 over a good Texas Tech team. So – it's not like this is par for the course. I don't know if they've just stopped recruiting. I don't know if players just hate playing in that system and transfer out immediately, but it's really disgusting. So go Boston College tonight. Let's go, baby.
Let's go Eagles. Yep. And that's about it for tonight. Otherwise, you know, it's going to get fun Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So
everybody, we'll be back with you. Unless something crazy happens, maybe Saturday, we'll hop on and do a quick pod. We'll likely be talking to you Sunday, but Will, have a great time at the Garden tomorrow. What is your game plan? What walk us through your day tomorrow.
So I'll probably leave around 3:34, get to the stadium. You know,
maybe a little road soda on the train.
Maybe a couple on the train, you know, before I spend $14 on a beer at the Garden. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Both games are going to be great. Regardless of who's in it, I'm pulling for, you know, Creighton and Marquette, so I can see that in the nightcap. But I'm just, you know, I might do something risky, like maybe tweet out St. John's money line.
Oh, now if you have a night where you win both your bets and you're walking out of the Garden feeling like a king, do you opt into some chicanery and some reckless behavior in New York City?
No, I go straight home. I'm not a big city guy. I've only gone to the city for games for the most part. I'm more of a wide open spaces type of guy.
And, if you were going to be caught up in the thrill of things and head on out.
Oh, no. I mean, maybe if Slick or Rick wants to hang out after the game, I know he gets into some type of stuff. You know what I mean?
he'll just take you back to campus. That's where all the wild things happen.
Ooh, yeah, I'll go back to Jamaica, Queens.
Thank you.
So, but outside of college basketball, in other news, the Cowboys signed a free agent. So I just had to get that out there after the emergency pod.
Well, congratulations, because Derrick Henry came out and said that the Cowboys didn't even call him. So.
Yep. Yeah. Which they all lied about, that the price was too steep. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you don't know the price if you don't call. Yeah,
exactly. Shoot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they sure didn't, or they were shooting blanks. But we'll have a great time tomorrow. Enjoy the Garden and all of its festivities, the Big East tournament. That is something I wish I got to when I was still living up there, and I never got to it. So have a great time, and we'll be back on Sunday for sure.
Thanks, man.
Take care, everybody.
And we're back, William, with another week of the gambling. I hope you guys enjoyed the college basketball segment with our boy Sean and you. I heard you had a couple predictions on there. I'll have to listen myself. But we have some gambling, some picks to make for the weekend. We're doing it on a Thursday. We usually do it on a Friday. Will, you got some plans tomorrow that are very exciting? I might too. I don't know. We'll see. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I didn't have a good week last week betting, but you know what? It can't get worse. I mean, it technically can, because I technically won one, but
yeah.
Let's see if we have a better week this week.
Yeah, I went you went 1-4, like you said. I went, 2-3.
2-3, yeah.
Not what you like to see. Anything that sticks out to you, anybody, any teams you want to tell them to go fuck themselves, any teams you want to say thank you to, only one clearly, but anybody that's really sticking in your craw, like that you want to bitch
about?
Yeah,
there's there's two for me. And we'll start with the game on Friday night. After a loss, San Diego State at home, taking on Boise State. They were -7.5, and I said easy cover off a loss. They're going to get, and then they lose to Boise State. What are you doing? The other one is I predicted Villanova money line. I was about to text you in the first half when Creighton was up 17. I'm like, oh, that was a terrible bet, Will. Then Villanova goes on this crazy run. It's a tie game with 13 seconds. I'm like, oh, we have a shot. We're going overtime. And they hit Creighton hits a buzzer beater. Of course they would. Those frauds.
Oh man, that's a bad beat. That's tough. I mean, they were up 17, but at the same time, they come all the way back. You sit there.
But at the same time, if I took Villanova +1.5, I would have won.
Yeah, I mean, that one's kind of on you. But you're also sitting there like they fucking look like trash. Am I really going to double down on this and lose more money? You know, it's one of those things. But then you look back and you kick yourself. Hindsight's always 20/20. For me, this is on myself. First of all, CJ McCollum, you're a bitch. Like you should get fucking traded to China. I love him. I'd like to have him on the pod. This is sports hate, but I mean, come on, bro. You're getting 7.5 assists, rebounds plus assists, like 2 out of every 3 games, and then you show up, you play 23 minutes, you didn't even get in foul trouble. I know you guys blew him out, but like, what, did you just not want to play that day? This is a joke.
Because that was one of your bets that I thought was like a legit lock.
Yeah. Well, and then of course, Will, all I had to do was fucking flip-flop Scotty to win only and Will Zalatoris the top 10, and I'm looking at losing. I'm looking at winning another bet, so then I'm 3-2 instead of 2-3, but I'm an idiot. And I should have known that Scotty was going to come out there and putt like, I don't even know, prime fucking anyone? Tiger? Yeah. Making,
I mean,
everything?
He played unbelievable. On Sunday, he played unbelievable, and no one was even close to his game. So, yeah, I knew you were sitting there, and you're like, damn it, Willie Z.
No, yeah, and Willie Z looked great, but Scotty was just, like, on another level. The other one that I'm pissed at the team is UNC Asheville. Like, College of Charleston comes out. They were up, like, 10, maybe more. I think they were covering at half, the 11.5. And then Charleston Southern comes out, and they look like the fucking, you know, Golden State Warriors of 2016. Like, what the fuck? They hit everything. They scored, like, 20 points in the first couple of minutes, and then, of course, UNC Asheville comes back and only covers by 5. Fuck them. That's a game at home.
And UNC Asheville, like, owned that conference, too.
Yeah, they're at home. That's a game that you win by 30. It's Charleston Southern. Come on. Yeah. That's a joke. So I'm really pissed at UNC Asheville. I've been doing terrible with the mid-majors this year, though, bro, honestly. Every single one I pick, it just feels like an educated, good pick. And I think, honestly, I put the kibosh on it this year. Last year I was betting amazing, making a lot of money. And then this year it's like no matter what bet I put in, it could be the smartest bet on planet Earth. I could pick fucking, you know, LeBron James to score 12 points and he'll tear his ACL in the first 2 minutes.
With 7 points.
Exactly. No, he'll have fucking like 9 points. He'll be so close. Let's hope we do better this week, man. Let's one of us has got to go above 500 here.
Yep. Let's get into it.
All right, man.
I went first last week, so you start this week.
All right, we're gonna go pick for pick just like last time. No difference there. First one, I got a Friday game for you at noon. There wasn't too many lines out, but I know Michigan State is having a terrible year. You're the college basketball guy, but I'm gonna go with Purdue -6.5. That's straight up -110 on FanDuel. How do you like that pick?
So that's Saturday, correct? That's a Saturday noon game.
No, I think that's Friday at 12, Purdue, Michigan State.
It is Friday at 12. That's funny that you said that because in one of my picks, I have Purdue -6.5 as well.
Well, there we go. We can knock one off the board right there for you. So me and you,
there we go.
We have to take that pick, by the way. We just said that. That's a party bet, and we have to figure out.
Yep.
Yeah, I will be taking that bet right after we get on this pod, actually taking it with money. And Sean will have to figure out a way to, I don't know, pay in blood or something. I mean, he's got to get him.
Sean can use Monopoly money or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Down in Texas, that clown. All right, my second pick, since me and you already had one party pick, I have Max Homa to top 20 minus 165.
That's a good bet. Max Homa's been playing good golf, so.
I think he's a shoo-in.
And where's he in the standings right now, Tommy?
Last time I checked, he was like 17th, maybe. Let me look. I should have these ready to go because you're going to ask me every time now. I should just have them ready to go. I mean, 13th. He's 13th.
13th. So he's right in the thick of things.
Absolutely. I feel really good about that. I think he's easily going to. I think he's going to top 20 in his sleep.
Yep, I agree. So with my first pick, we're doing something we usually don't do on this podcast. We're going to talk a little hockey.
Ah, that's fine by me.
And I'm taking my Buffalo Sabres in a must-win game. They're 5 points out of the playoffs. They've been playing like shit all year. But they're at home today against the Islanders in a must-win game because the Islanders are 5 points ahead of them. I'm taking the money line, which is 105, so it's basically a straight bet. So lock that one in. Right now it is 0-0, so we're looking good.
We are looking good on that. I'm glad you tweeted them out. I think it was before the game started, so that's good.
It was before the game. Yep.
All right. My next bet, I've got Rory to top 10. He's currently in first place, so I'm feeling pretty good about that one.
That is a good bet. It is only Thursday, though. It is only Thursday. Shit happens when it comes to the weekend, especially with Rory, but I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yep. All right, what you got?
So with my third pick, I'm taking Baylor tonight in college basketball, minus 6.5. They're playing Cincinnati. Cincinnati just came off a drubbing of a Kansas team that basically played their walk-ons.
Yeah.
I think they're in for a rude awakening tonight.
I love that. What's the bet again?
Minus 6.5.
I actually like that pick a lot. I might actually have to take that one as well. All right, my final golf pick before I give you something a little different. I'm going to try and do this every week. I've done it 2 weeks in a row, this different kind of pick. And I hit the F1 one, by the way, for all those people asking out there. Shout out to my expert. I don't know if I can keep this up every week, but I'm going to try. But my bet before that, I have Ludvig. I'm feeling really good about my boy Ludvig Åberg to top 10.
Okay. Ooh, top 10. Ooh.
And just for your information, he's currently sixth.
Ooh.
Yes.
Look at Tommy just right off the dome. Good pick, Tom.
Thank you. All right, go ahead and give me the next one.
So I'm going to the Pac-12, and I'm taking my Cougs tonight. I'm taking
Oh, yes. I stared at that line, too, and I was
they
like, Will's going to
Stanford.
Take
Stanford coming off an overtime win. The Cougs are giving 8.5 points. I think they win going away high teens against Stanford.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to win that game. I'd put the number at like 12. I feel good about that. So. All right, my final pick this week. Got to give you another exotic one. I have college lacrosse I hit up my lacrosse expert. I first texted him and said, "Is the PLL playing?" And he said, "No, it doesn't start till June." I said, "You got anything?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm betting college lacrosse." So I got a little parlay for everybody here just to get the juice flowing. This is going to be some decent plus odds. I got Rutgers money line, Denver money line, and Brown. I'm a big Ivy League guy, Brown, plus 5.5, and that comes out to plus 348. So a little something nice, you know? You throw a couple bucks on it, you win a couple more. We like that.
We do like that. That is a nice parlay if you hit that.
Absolutely. All right, what's your final pick?
With my last pick, and, you know, I'm going to keep doing this every week, guys. I always will give you a money line underdog pick, and I'm going mid-major style. Stephen F. Austin money line tonight against UT Arlington. They're plus 120, so 100 bucks wins you $120. They've split the season series with one close game of UT Arlington winning, and then Stephen F. Austin absolutely shit on them the other time. It's a low spread. It's 2.5 if you want to take the spread by itself, but I think they take it with just take it in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a believer in. You got to take it every game at, you know, at face value. You got to treat every game individually. But I kind of like to use the NFL playoffs where if you're going to take an underdog, you got to believe they can win. So you might as well just take them to win.
Yeah, I mean, that comes to the playoffs. Like, regular season, if they're plus 14.5, you're going to take the numbers. You're not going to take a money line. But if they're like
– Oh, of course, but I'm saying if it's a close – if it's a close.
Yeah, if they're plus 2.5, why not, you know, risk the extra money to have them win the game?
Exactly. Yeah, and make a little more. I completely agree with that. I don't think that's an unintelligent bet at all. I really like that. Yeah. Again, this pod might get canceled. One of us has to go above 500.
500, yes. So we don't want to lose the listeners' money.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, although, Will, if we're that bad, they could always just fade us, and then it would become
they
more
could fade
of
us and be like, I listen to this podcast every week. They're terrible, so I bet against them, and I win every week. Like,
yeah.
That could be good for you guys, too.
We could find a niche doing that. The bad bets pod. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We need a couple more weeks under our belt. You never know. Maybe we both fucking go 5-5 and we get a fat deal from FanDuel for $1 billion to handicap.
Ooh, so nice. Yep.
All right, man. Well, listen, everybody enjoy the weekend. It's going to be jam-packed. You're going to be hearing from us. A lot of college basketball. It's conference tourney time. Will, you got St. John's money line, though. You do have a bet there.
I do. St. John's money line. I think the upset might happen.
All right. Yeah, I doubt it, but I love your enthusiasm for it. We're going to be back next week talking picks like every week, guys. Thank you.